In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Last Sunday's Gospel was about asking, seeking, and knocking. Ask, seek, and knock. This Sunday is about knocking down a roof. So, close, same thing. Last Sunday was about persevering in prayer. Persevering in prayer. Keep praying, praying, praying until you get it. Keep after God. Don't let go. Don't leave Him. Today is about perseverance in ministry, in serving God. Every one of us is invited by God to serve, is asked actually to serve. And if you remember the theme or the goal that we gave to the congregation on the last State of the Church, we said fully engaging every member, theme, fully engaging every member. Everyone is fully engaged through ministry and through fellowship. Everyone in the church has a role, has something to do. And of course, we're saying that because of the event of the gospel today, the four men who carried their friend and brought him to Jesus, the house was full, it was packed, there was no room to get in, so they climbed up, they knocked down the roof, and they let down their friend. He was healed. God wants every one of us to serve His brothers, sisters, friends, family, colleague, neighbors. Bring everyone, anyone possibly we can bring to the Lord. We're not asked to heal, but to bring to the Lord, to carry people to the Lord, and it's His job to heal and to bless and to do everything. Fathers of the church said that these four men that they carried the friend, they represent the four ranks of the church. The bishops, the priests, the deacons or the servants, and the laymen or the congregation. Three of them wouldn't do the job. And two, of course, not. It needed the four. It needed every single one to do his own part, that this man may be brought to the Lord Jesus and he may be healed. No one can be missing. No one of the congregation is allowed to be there as a true member, active member in the body of Christ, and he's not serving, and he doesn't have a role. Doesn't have to be a fancy role, but he's got to do something. You know what these four men were like? You know what they did? They were basically four wheels. Wheels. Just carry someone and walk. They were like a car to bring someone to the Lord. They didn't do anything fancy. They didn't preach him. Not everyone will be a priest or a preacher. And even the priest and the preacher does not change people. God does. Christ does. But our job, the job of any minister, any servant, is to bring the soul to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And this could be done in so many easy ways. As I said, these four men, they were nothing but wheels. Four wheels carried the person, brought him to the Lord. The people who takes care of the parking ministry, is like these four men. We gotta get these people inside. We gotta get these people to Jesus. The ushers who let people in, we gotta get these people to Jesus. The people who puts the screen up, we gotta get these people to Jesus. The people who stream, we gotta get these people to Jesus. And so on. Even those who clean or any small job, what is the purpose? To bring people to Jesus, to bring the good news to people any way possible. I'll tell you the best one of them. a mother who has two or three little ones who cannot pray one liturgy with a peace of mind. Giving her peace of mind or taking care of her children while she's praying, it's bringing someone to Jesus, isn't it? As simple as this. Very simple, but most important thing, why is it done? Why is it done? Ministry has to come from two branches. One is love. Love for God. Love for Him. Love for His children. Ministry is the expression of love to the Lord in many ways. When Jesus spoke to Peter after the resurrection, He told him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep. Serve my people. Feed them. Take care of them. You love me? Take care of my children. Bring them to me." And the second sign, or the second aspect of ministry, is faith. I'll tell you why and how this is different. Because the easiest thing to do is to help people. See, someone needs help, you help him. That's not ministry. Ministry is bringing people to the Lord Himself, that He helps, that He heals, that He gives. Easiest thing to see someone in need, tell him, "How can I pitch in? How can I help you? Do you need to borrow some money? Do you want a job?" Easiest thing. But what is the real help? The real help is, I think you need the Lord more in your life. You need the Lord more in your life. Why don't we go together to Him? Why don't we go together? Why don't we go to church together? Why don't we pray together? Why don't we get closer together? Faith. Faith is when someone is in trouble, I don't say, "Where is God?" But I say, "Let's see where God is, because we need Him. Let's go to Him." That's ministry, in very simple words. Bringing people to Him, bringing His children to Him. Ministry is the normal growth of any Christian. It's a sign of maturity. Little kids, they are selfish, get. They don't know how to give. When they grow up, how to know the level of maturity? When they start to help out and when they start to give. Same thing. When we come here to help, let me do something. I want to do something for God. I want to bring those close to Him. Again, it's not just by getting some money out of your pocket and give it to someone, but really bringing the Lord to the life of people. Either by taking them to Him or taking Him to them. The most amazing thing in ministry . It needs love and faith, but at the same time it makes us grow in our love and in our faith. Where else can you see the work of God and the miracles of God aside from ministry? Anywhere else? Where could you see God's glory and God's blessing? Where else other than in ministry? There's nowhere else. You see and your faith is strengthened and your love becomes more fervent. Ministry feeds love. Or what is actually the Father say, that you minister to others, God ministers to you personally. I can't be in ministry for long if I give from my own. Because no matter how much I have, I will run out. Unless He is so generous with me and He fills me all the time very generously. And that's the only way I can keep on, and I can continue, and I can keep giving, and I can keep helping, and I can keep serving. And that is the sign that is not the power of man, but is the power of God. True or false? Anyone with any amount of strength can run out. Can run out easily. Unless there is an assurance that when I minister to His people, He's going to minister to me. He's going to fill me abundantly. Question here is, why we don't do it? Why people don't do it? Why people refrain from doing that? If it's great and it's full of blessing like this and comes with a lot of promises. I'm sure that all of us tried at least. Tried. At least tried to do something and to serve. What did we find? We found the door closed. Like the four men, they were really trying to help their friend, carried him, took him all the way to the Jesus, and what did they find? Door is closed. Out for lunch. Out forever. Wait for here 10 hours and you're never going to see Jesus. Go back. Like people tried to serve but felt not needed, not equipped, don't have anything to give, or they got turned off, or they got busy, or they got blessed. You know, people serve, God bless them, get busy with the blessing and stay away from ministry. I see that a lot. Or service was too demanding, or no encouragement, no one to help. Or we were accused in ministry. And we were labeled in ministry. And we were put down in ministry. What do? We leave. We quit. Many reasons, but the result is one, is they give up. Make a U-turn, doesn't work. Never met Jesus, and the friend was never healed. To be honest with you, do you blame these four men if they made a U-turn and went back home? Do you consider them bad people? I wouldn't. I wouldn't blame them. They really tried. There's 5,000 people in one room. There's no way they can get in. And it's not like there is line and chairs. And no, it's Middle East ways. Everybody's pushing and shoving, you know. So how can they push? Can't. So would you blame them if they stayed for 3 hours and went back home? Do they get a reward or they wouldn't? They would get a reward. They would be blessed. God will bless them. And God will reward them for their effort. They will be great people. But they will never make it to the Bible. They made it to the Bible only because of their perseverance. We are not leaving. We are going. We are going to see Jesus. We are going to take Him to Jesus. Perseverance. We're not going to let go. Excuse me. Have you tried to go to a store and it was just time that they're closing? Just closed, Jenny. You try to come in and, you know, the employee was just locking the door. Say, sorry, it's time to close. Time to go home. We're tired. We've been working here for 12 hours. Time to go home. What do we usually do? Sorry, thank you so much. Bye. What's the Egyptian way? Please. Just 2 minutes. I'm not going to take more than 2 minutes. Time is over.
Please.
I'm not leaving. So the discussion will take 15 minutes. So the employee will say, okay, fine, let's just do it. Perseverance. I believe that we miss out on many great opportunities because of our lack of perseverance. Ministry is like any great thing in life. That doesn't come easy, but actually comes with problems. And you find the door closed. Thank you so much. We don't need your help. Who told you that we need help here? That's normal to hear that. See this beautiful verse, son of Sirach. He says, my son, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. You'll be tried. You'll be tested. Your patience will be tested. You'll be accused. And you'll be asked to leave. And you'll be asked to be frustrated. And you'll be pushed. What are you going to do? Go back? Or knock down the roof? You think when we come to serve God, you're going to tell us, oh, thank you so much. And the doors are open and people are welcoming us. And please, we need your help. No. It doesn't work this way. Not with serving the Lord. Why? Because there are so many evil forces against this great thing that you're going to do. Many evil forces. No, stop him. Do anything to stop him. And the devil is going to work hard. Selfishness is going to kick in. Pride is going to kick in. Normal. Absolutely. And if it doesn't work this way, then there's something wrong. If you paid attention to the readings today, there was something really, I don't know, I say nice or funny or strange, but I'll tell you the story. It's about St. Paul and Barnabas in Lystra. Okay? Before I give you the passages, St. Paul and Barnabas went to a city, Lystra. When they went there, they saw someone crippled. Prayed for him, and he stood and he walked. The people of the city, what did they do? They worshiped them. And they took sacrifices and calves and killing and offering sacrifices, worshiping them. So they tried as much as they can. They stopped the people from worshiping them. And they started to preach them. 5 minutes later, some Jews came and said, do you believe these people? They're false prophets. And they're preaching false prophets. Stone them. So they stoned them. Like half an hour ago, they were worshiping them. And now they're stoning him. And they stoned St. Paul. And a lot of people say that he died. He really died. He went up to heaven. You remember the story when he went to heaven and came back? They say it's in this story. It was read today. So it says here, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Actually, he was dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. So he was dead. God raised him from the dead. He was bruised. He was killed. Needs 2 months recovery. He went into the city, and the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and made disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. What is this? Stone today. And tomorrow, they're preaching in another city and come back to the same city? What do you call this? Perseverance. Don't you understand? You just got stoned in the city. You're not ashamed? Like, you're not afraid of these people? Do you think you can ever have fruits in this? Do you still trust God? They just stoned you and you died. No, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue. The harder it is, the greater the results. These four men became heroes today. Not only because of their faith, but because of their perseverance. They had faith. They could have had faith and just came, stopped, went back. But they made it. Let me tell you something. We are living in a generation that is called quitters. Quitters generation. Quit on anything. Not doing good in school, just drop the class. Drop two, drop three, drop all of them. No problem. Change school, change career. Give up on that. I'm not saying these things are wrong, but I'm saying quitting is wrong. Quitting and quitting all the time and quitting whenever we see any obstacle, that's not the spirit of God. It's the spirit of the world. Marriage is not going well. Quit on that. Get a divorce. That's the spirit of the world. See, the Pauline epistle today, he said, he said that now we have received not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Know exactly what God is giving us. Know exactly what God wants from us. God wants us to persevere and to be patient and to continue and to try and to give our best and to sweat. Catholic epistle that was read on us, same thing. But also for this reason, giving all diligence at your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. Spoke about perseverance, to endure, to continue in that. But a lot of times we take the spirit of the world, not the spirit of Christ. Best verse that I'm going to leave you with, when Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. My pleasure is to do the will of the Father, to do God's will." Listen to the rest. "And to finish His work." And to finish His work. God wants us to be like Jesus, finishers, not quitters. Finishers. Finish the race. Keep going. Struggle and try and try more and more and more and never stop. God wants us to do that. God has many dreams for us, many goals. God wants us to be heroes like these four men. But I'm afraid that we limit these dreams with just our lack of patience and perseverance, quitting easily, seeking the easy, not the hard way, especially when it comes to God. Seeking always the easy way. I'm sure many people were there and many people went to Jesus, but no one made it to the gospel except those because of their hard work. Martyrs, they were finishers. They were not quitters. They were finishers. Said, "We're going to finish. We're going to wait till the end. We're going to hold on to the faith until the end. We're going to witness to Christ until the end. I'm not going to give up. It's not from God to give up. This voice that whispers in your ears is not from God, it's from the devil. Give up, quit. It's too hard. These words should never be uttered on our mouth, because they're not the word of God. My work, my food, is to do the will of my Father and to finish the work He's given me. Many people start ministry, but not a lot of people finish. Not a lot of people finish. Many people start very strong. Many people start many, 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 many projects. Many ideas. Not a lot of people finish. God wants us to be finishers. Takes a lot of perseverance. Takes a lot of effort. Expect the hardships. But the hardships is what's going to show you God's blessing. Is what's going to strengthen you. Even in ministry. Even in the relationship with God. The hardships made the martyrs distinguished and made them finishers and made them great. May God give us His Spirit to continue and to persevere till the end, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.